Then why don't you take your Bible also and go to Numbers 13. I'll ask you to remain seated tonight. Let's just remain seated because I've got two pretty good portions of Scripture to read here. And so while you're there in Joshua 14 and Numbers 13, holding your place there, let me start out by saying just a few things and then we'll get down to reading the Scripture. But Joshua has led Israel now into conquering Canaan. And now the Bible is going to tell us that it's time for the individual tribes to go into the land and begin to drive out these pockets of Jebusites. And I'll just say it like this, the Ites, all of the Ites, they're supposed to. Because the last message was there's more ground still to be gained. And there's always going to be, in our life, ground that needs to be gained. We need to continue to be learning. We need to be continuing to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. So if we could put it like this, the first 12 chapters deal with the conquering of the land, and the last 12 chapters deal with dividing the land. So we will definitely move a lot faster through these chapters, but there's some great lessons to be learned. Now, about 4 years... there's about 4 years that takes place past like where Jericho coming into the land, something similar to that. And I want you to begin to look with me now what the story is that's going to take place about the land that's going to be divided. It has to do with a man named Caleb. Now everybody hopefully will remember Caleb. So a way to remember Caleb, let's just do this. Go back to the book of Numbers, chapter number 13. The book of Numbers, chapter number 13. And let's begin reading the story here tonight of Joshua and Caleb. Numbers chapter 13, drop down to verse number 30. Notice what it says here. Well, look at the land, verse 29. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. Now these are the people that are still there 45 years later when we're over in Joshua chapter 14. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Verse 30, here's this man named Caleb. Now if you understand, he was 40 years old. Now he is 85 years old in Joshua. In the book of Numbers, he's 40 years old, the prime of his life, especially to be live as long as he's going to live. He's pretty much right in the center of the prime of his life. I said that in Sunday school, that'd be about 30, but we'll give the Jews a little bump in here because they live longer. So he's in the prime of his life, verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Here's Caleb. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. All right, now, you go on to find out that down in verse number 9 of chapter 14, that they said, don't rebel. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Now notice that there's only two men, of course, in verse 6, Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched out the land. Now, what you have here is you have the two spies. You have 12 spies, 10 spies give an evil report, two spies say, let's take the land. Those two men are Joshua and Caleb. So, I know this is a review, but it's going to get us to where we're at in Joshua. I want you to understand Caleb because I'm going to make an application here tonight about how Caleb didn't get bitter and how Caleb didn't allow a bad experience in his Christian life to ruin him from serving God. He is going to have to go in the wilderness for 40 years because of a bunch of rebels that are not willing to go into the land. Now, I would call that a bad experience. That's a bad church experience. What's wrong with you people? Do you not love God? Do you not want to take the land? Are you rebellious? And so basically, we have a man named Caleb who is going to have to spend 40 years in the wilderness because people didn't believe and didn't. Now that is easy to make you bitter and to say, well, I had a bad experience at church and so I don't serve God anymore. Everybody with me? So 45 years later, now notice 45 years later, we find ourselves in Joshua chapter number 14. And I want you to go down to verse number 5 with me. Now notice what it says about this man named Caleb. As the Lord God commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. That's where we're at in chapters 12 and on. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, that's the same Caleb that we just read about, the Kenizzite, said unto him. So he comes to, by the way, these are the two oldest men that go into Canaan land. There's only two old guys. The rest, all of their ancestry died. These two men go in. He's 85 years old. We found out that last week Joshua was old, stricken in years. Remember that? Come on, say it with me. And here's what Caleb said. Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. So here's a conversation between Caleb and Joshua. He goes, you know what the man of God said, Moses. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Now, I do not believe this is arrogance at all. This is just saying, hey, I want to remind you that I was with God. I believed God. I brought the report back. I was ready to go 45 years ago. And verse number 9, and Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Now, can I say, Caleb is the kind of church member you want to be? He's the kind of person that you want to emulate. Somebody say amen. Amen. You don't want to be Korah, all right? You want to be Caleb. And verse number 10 says, And now, Joshua, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Joshua, I'm 85 years old. Verse 11, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, wherefore the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me. In other words, he said, hey, God was with me 45 years ago. God was with me through the wilderness. And God is with me today. And I am ready to take what God hath promised. Now, he could have said, they cheated me out of 45 years of the land. He could have said, these people messed up my life. He could have said, but he didn't say that. Are you with me tonight? He did not say that. Amen. He said, hey, it is what it is, and we're going to serve God where we're at, and we're not going to let a bad experience of a bunch of people that didn't want to serve God and rebelled against the things of God to dictate my heart and my service to the Lord, But I'm telling you, I want that mountain. It belongs to me. Somebody say amen. And so verse number 13 says, Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzanite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kajar Abara, which Abara was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Father, I pray tonight as we look at these very simple principles from the life of Caleb and how after these 45 years have passed, Lord, he was obedient when he went into the land the first time, and now he is asking for the inheritance that God would give him. But Lord, it shows us about a man whose heart was wholly turned to the Lord. So I pray that we would look at several things through this passage of Scripture that might help us to serve you all the days of our life, and that as we grow older, that our spirit would grow sweeter. As we grow older, that our convictions would become steadfast, unmovable. As we grow older, that we would always abound, Lord, knowing that our labor for the Lord is not in vain. In Christ's name we ask, amen. Now, Caleb was 40 years old when Moses made the promise to him. We could say that he was in the prime of his life. He was full of faith, and he had confidence in God. But listen to this. Here's what I want you to understand. 45 years later, the passion that he had for serving God and taking the land and going and taking the mountain in Hebron had not diminished. Listen, physically, but greater than physically, spiritually. Now let's just put it down where the rubber meets the road today. Our physical strength may diminish, and our physical strength will diminish. Now, Manny, who's on the trip, he was popping off at me the other day. So I got up there and I said to him, I said, son, I said, you want to go around with me? He started thinking about it. I said, no, I'm serious. We'll go out there in that backyard and I'll show you what the old man can do. He backed off. And here's what I said to him. I ain't as good as I used to be, but I'm as good once as I ever was. Amen. So what do? You use the intimidation factor. That's what you do. All right, my son, he's about 6'4". He's about 245. And so I stand about right here, but I'll put my finger on his chest if I need to and say, boy, don't try me. You don't want to mess with me at all. You understand what I'm saying? That's what I think about when I think of Caleb taking on these giants. Now, what I want to make sure that you understand is this. Our physical strength will diminish as the years pass by, but our spiritual strength should be renewed day by day. And we should be stronger in the Lord now than we ever have. And the older we get, the sweeter serving the Lord should be. Not bitter, not using an excuse, not saying it's for the young people. No, we need to serve God all the days of our life. 2 Corinthians, let me give you a good New Testament verse. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, here's what Caleb shows us tonight. And I just have a couple of things that I want you to understand, but Caleb is showing us that our faith should increase with years. That the faith which sees great victories needs to be an unwavering faith, a steadfast faith. Caleb served God with all of his heart, all of his soul, all of his mind. According to verse number 8, he said, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Verse number 9, and Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thy inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. Verse number 14, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb. Look at this, verse toward the end of it. Because that he wholly followed the Lord God. So what I'm telling you is what we need to understand is this type of faith is what our young people in the church need to see. This type of faith is a faith that is catchy. Now, what do I mean by that? I want you to drop over to Joshua 15 and verse number 19. Now, the Bible says here, well, let's look at verse 17 for a context. And Othniel, the son of Kenza, the brother of Caleb, all right, notice that, took it, and he gave Achish, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, "What wouldest thou?" Who answered, listen to this, "Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water." And he gave her the upper springs and the neither springs. And this is the inheritance of the tribe of the children according to their families. What does that mean? That is Caleb's daughter who grew up with her dad, Caleb's daughter who grew up with her dad in the wilderness after all of the people rebelled, but yet she followed the faith of her father. And by the time we get over here, as Caleb is driving out the giants of the land, that Caleb's daughter said, "Hey, a girl who's been raised in the midst of 40-year wandering, a time that was known by complaining and murmuring and rebellion by the majority, I'm telling you that the faith of the father, Caleb, had an effect on his daughter." Amen. You see, the right kind of faith and the right kind of church member and the right kind of Israelite in this sense is contagious. So one might ask this question, how can it be that the faith of Caleb in God and his passion for the things of God did not diminish over all these years? Now, we have looked at Joshua, all right, and we have spoken a lot about the leadership of Joshua and how Joshua had to be encouraged by the Lord to be not discouraged and fear not and take the land and do a lot. But I find nowhere where that's given to Caleb. It's like he was ready. How did he do this? Well, this is where we're going to come down to the message tonight. This is what I just want to make some observations about Caleb that I believe would be good for us tonight. So listen to me. Here's the first thing that Caleb did, and these are just observations of a man who for 45 years has waited to take the mountain in Hebron in the city. And by the way, you go through this, after this, you can read all this and the giants who were there. He didn't care. He said, "I'm ready. I'm physically ready. I'm mentally ready. I'm spiritually. I loved God 45 years ago, and I'm still loving God today." Amen. That is a blessing. Amen. That's contagious. Yeah. That's the kind of things our young people need to see. Let me tell you what it's going to take, though, because you will not be like Caleb unless you do about, I think I've got three things here that I think are very important. Number one, now listen, he didn't wear his feelings on his sleeve. Did you hear what I said? He didn't wear his feelings on his shoulder, I guess I should say. He didn't take the criticism, the opposition, the insults, and the threats. He didn't take it personal. He couldn't have. I mean, people complained, people murmured, people had the people's heart melting. Those 10 spies came back, gave an evil report. Caleb, man, he is upside down, jumping up and down, and said, "Man, I'm telling you, I saw a place over there. Now, we'll call it Hebron because I saw a mountain over there. I'm telling you, man, you're talking about a house over there and the springs, and they got a river. They got creeks flowing through there. Oh, man, I'm telling you, there's grapes as big as your head. I'm telling you, it's where the land of milk and honey flow. Let's go, baby. God has given it to us." And the truth is, God had given it to them. But what did they begin to do? Criticize, oppose, insult. I mean, you want to talk about insult. They were willing to stone Caleb and Joshua. They were willing to stone these two men. And he was the one that had to say, listen to this, "Only rebel ye not against the Lord." Why? Because he knew God was true. He knew that God was going to do what he said. Now listen to me. As believers in Jesus Christ, We have everything we need in Christ. God wants us to have, God wants the best for us. And listen, when you serve God, when you serve the Lord with your heart, your soul, and your mind, I'm going to tell you right now, there's going to be opposition. Not only is there going to be opposition, there's going to be criticism. Well, you don't have to go to church every Sunday, or you don't have to go to church every night. Really, are you that eat up with church? Do you? Yes, I am. I'm eat up with church. I'm eat up with God. I want to serve Him all of my soul, my heart. And listen, what'll happen is you'll get your feelings hurt. Well, did you know that I went to church on Sunday, and I was there all day long? And did you know that the preacher didn't even shake my hand? Well, did you go by the side where he was at? No, but that's not the point. The point is he should have sought me out and shook my hand. I'm telling you, Caleb couldn't have his feelings hurt bad enough for him not to serve God. Call people on the phone. Well, you know, we missed you at church. Well, I can't come to church. Sister Jabberjaws, she said something to me. Okay. Well, tell her too bad for her, but I serve God. I'm telling you, people, there's too much, they said this or they did that or whatever. Who? What? I ain't got time for that. Personally, I ain't got time for that. I'm like, sometimes people say, I said, are you serious? Ain't nobody got time for that. Hey, let me give you a piece of advice. You want to be a good, solid Christian? You want to be Caleb? Then have a heart as soft as butter, ready to melt at the things of God, but have a hide like a rhinoceros that you're like, you know, could you imagine trying to hurt a rhinoceros? I mean, they got skin as thick as a rhinoceros hide. Do you realize I am serious as a heart attack now? I'm telling you, and that's serious. Caleb could have become a member of the Sour Club just like that. He could have sulked in his tent, said, I can't believe this. We're missing out on the blessings of God. Think about this. He lost 45 years of living in Hebron. He lost 45 years of raising his children in a land that flowed with milk and honey. And instead, he had to raise them in a tent in the wilderness where manna was fed to them every day and water out of a rock and the law. But he did not complain. He did not wear his feelings on his sleeve. Number two, not only that, he refused to grow bitter about a bad past experience. Do you realize today there are preachers that are no longer in the ministry because they're concerned about past bad experiences on how people treated them or their family or what they said to them or snide remarks that were made? You can do that to me, Bubba. I'll outlive you. Or at least I'll try. Because I'm telling you, I've seen people hurt. I've seen people grow bitter. I've seen people that are no longer in church. And listen, I know people right now that they won't even join a church because of their past bad experience of what somebody said or some preacher did some stupid thing. Hey, listen, you don't serve a preacher. You serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never let you down. People will let you down. And there is the possibility for bad experiences. And I'm pretty sure Caleb had one. But 45 years later, Brother Boonstra, he's still serving the Lord. You think about that, he could have had his family in that land 45 years. Listen, people today get mad and are not in church because of a bad experience, and then they allow themselves to grow very bitter. It's just a fact that when there are people involved with anything, there's going to be opportunities for bad things to happen along the way. In fact, I wrote a little note in my notes saying probably you could think of one right now. Now, Brother Pringle, you've been in the ministry long enough. There's people that's come against you. And they've come against your family, and they've come against the church, and they've said something that they shouldn't have said that God will deal with. And they've done things that they had no business doing. And they said things that they had no business saying. Well, let me just tell you something. God will deal with that. If you're right with the Lord, you keep serving God, you keep doing right, and instead of bitterness, Caleb seemed to have a thankful attitude. I don't think what we read about in those verses there when he said, "Now thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses," verse number 6. "Thou knowest that when I was 40 years old," verse number 7, "that I brought word again," that he knew what my heart was. Yeah, the other people were not with God, verse number 9. "But Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thy inheritance. And I wholly follow the Lord." So I'm ready for payment day. Now, not that we deserve anything. Caleb wasn't saying that. Caleb was just glad to be alive and get what God said he was going to get.
That's right.
But can I say this about bitterness? And I want you to listen to this. Bitterness is a choice. It's a choice. You can choose not to be bitter. Even when people are rebelling, even when people are saying things against you and saying, "We're ready to stone you." Now this all happened to Caleb. Caleb was able to still have a passion and a fervence for God because he didn't allow his hurt feelings to sidetrack him. He didn't wear them on his shoulder, and he refused to grow bitter. Number 3, third thing. He stayed faithful. And he stayed focused on what? The Word of God. When we base our desires upon the Word of God, we're on solid ground. Now I want you to consider this again. Look at 14:6. "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me." Verse number 10, "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. 40 and 5 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Verse 12, "Now therefore, give me this mountain." Son, you remember Moses back there 45 years ago? He said he promised me that the land that I stood on, I would be able to get. Now, he's kept me alive all these 45 years. My heart is still turned over to the Lord, and so now I want this mountain. It belongs to me. I like that song. I want this mountain. I want this mountain where the milk and honey flow and the grapes of Muscat grow. I want that mountain. I want that mountain. Man, I didn't know I could do that. I didn't even mean to do that. Woo! Man, I just sung a special, brother. And I'm not bitter about those who won't let me sing a special. Help me, Lord. I got to get out of this, all right? All right, so what's the bottom line? What can we learn? Past experiences are just that, past. They are. Past failures are just that, past. Don't allow a bad experience to end up developing the root of bitterness in your life. Of course, we know that Ephesians 4 says, "Put away bitterness." Aren't you glad that God doesn't harbor bitterness towards those that offend Him and grieve Him? Don't allow bitterness to steal what God has for your life. You know what? This is an encouraging account. I know it's not a very long message or deep message, but it sure, I just saw those things like, man, he didn't get bitter. He didn't let the past ruin what God had for him today. And by the way, God's still on the throne. God's still, and we've all got past experiences. There's no doubt about it. And I'm not minimizing if somebody has done you wrong or something has happened. I'm not doing that at all. I'm just saying you don't have to live in the past. You don't have to be bitter. You know what? You don't. And by the way, you don't just have to go to a guy like Caleb. You can find people that sit around you to say, man, they're still serving God after all these years. And I guarantee you, anybody that's been saved for any length of time has had somebody say something to them or do something or some kind of nonsense or done something that shouldn't have done. And by the way, the more higher the leadership is, the greater the responsibility is to be an example that we should be. But I'm going to tell you, how obedient are you? And what happens to you when you're done wrong? And I'm going to guarantee you, Caleb and Joshua were done wrong. Caleb was done wrong. But 45 years later, at the age of 85, he looks at that mountain and says, it belongs to me. And his daughter, praise God, said, give me some more land for my inheritance. Don't get bitter. Serve God. Let's stand tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, I pray tonight that you would speak to our hearts. And Lord, this very practical, looking at the life of Caleb and knowing that for those 45 years he could have been in the promised land, but the rebellion of the people and many of his those that were contemporaries with him did not allow him to go into the land, but his heart was still passionate 45 years later. Thank you for the example of Caleb. Thank you for the example of men and women in our church who have served the Lord many, many years. We praise the Lord for that. God, I pray that we would not allow past experiences to dictate our service or our heart for you even today. God bless this invitation tonight, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to sing page number
505.
505. If you want to sing along, you come tonight.